This is an action item. This will be the Fine Arts Task Force report and recommendations, and I'll have our special guests come to the front of the table, please. And again, I will turn the meeting back over to the superintendent.
Thank you very much. This is an important meeting and a report that we feel very good about. As you well know, several months ago, the board received the Fine Arts Task Force report. At my request, following the receipt and acceptance of that report, a small working group was put together to help us develop an implementation plan. That implementation plan is now before you. I want to thank the people that have been involved with that effort, our teaching and learning staff members, as well as, Julie and Lisa, as well as Barb and Ann, the co-chairs of the original task force. I appreciate the collaborative work that's been done here. I believe the recommendations you're about to review are consistent with the original task force findings, and I bring them to you for your consideration. And with that, I'll turn it over to you.
Now it's on. Good evening, and I just would like to thank you for taking up this topic at this evening's board discussion and committee meeting. I'm very pleased to be part of this discussion this evening and appreciate the invitation to continue the discussions of the task force recommendations that the Fine Arts Task Force made to the school board last October, Ann and I made to the school board. And I'd also just like to add that Ann and I have felt really honored to be able to have been part of the Fine Arts Task Force efforts from the beginning. What I'd like to do, and then we're going to turn it over to Julie for some comments in terms of the details of the recommendations, is to just provide an overview from the task force perspective in terms of some of the key points in three areas. They're summarized for you in the memo that you have: strategic planning, curriculum issues, financial, and then resources. And from the task force perspective, from a strategic planning, what's important to the task force is in the document that we presented you last October was that the arts education is considered an academic subject and not a special within the K-12 education in the public school system, and that arts education be included in the mission of the strategic plan. I'm not familiar with all the details of your strategic plan, but where discussions of academic come up, for arts education to be included in that discussion. In the area of the curricular issues from the findings and recommendations within the task force, one of the important questions that we were asked was to consider the effect of arts education, the changes in enrollment on low-income and students of color. And when we looked at the data, we did find that over time that there had been an increase in the student enrollment of these students in the arts education courses from, let's say, 2000 to 2007 when we had looked at them. However, we were concerned in light of the budget cuts that changes in the curriculum would most negatively affect this group of students. And what we were also concerned about in terms of the curricular issues was the supplies to support children's learning, not only in the classroom, but also in terms of some of the funding. So students with special needs, ESL, that have resources to support them for successful learning in one classroom environment would also have that in arts education. So one of the next steps that we feel that is important is an update of the music and art curriculum guidelines, in which you would have your sequence of K-12 courses and resources to support those courses, co-curricular that supports the curriculum that's in the classroom updated. And we do this we recommended this for two reasons, one of them being the educational issues surrounding having an updated curriculum in place, but also that the information from such an effort would provide a baseline of information for a budget, and in order to be able to develop budget scenarios in terms of what is the resources that are necessary to support arts education. The reason that we feel that this is important is because we feel that when we're looking out, let me just step back for a second. When we began our effort almost two and a half years ago, we were very aware of budget cuts affecting the district even then. And based on the conversation that we were listening to just in your previous meeting, it's even more so of an issue. And we have seen how that has affected arts education. And so one of the things that the task force felt was important was to identify what it is was needed in a K-12 arts education, what is some of budget scenarios surrounding that, and how could the revenue be provided to meet what gap may be there between what the district is able to provide and what may be needed in addition, and to put in place a multi-year plan, funding plan, in order to see what opportunities existed for some of those resources. So those are some of the main items that came out of the task force and that we have participated in discussions with Julie and with Lisa and Steve as we've talked about this since, I'd say, the spring. One thing I would just like to close by saying is that we, as task force members, really saw a lot of tremendous artwork and instruction of art that goes on throughout the district. And so we hope that through the implementation of some of these key steps that we are able to sustain, support it, enhance it, and sustain it. And so that's, I'd just like to leave you with those thoughts. And Ann, did you want to add anything?
I think Barb has, as usual, summed up the situation pretty well. But we have been very honored that starting with the task force being established and its work supported and what's gone on since the task force ended, which has been a year since the task force officially ended its work, and here we still are continuing the discussion. We do know that the board and staff and the district consider the arts to be a core academic subject because you're giving it this much attention. So we're very honored by that. We know that if we're going to educate our children for the 21st century, this is the arts are a key part of how we do that. And so our recommendations have been vetted to be as realistic, but aspirational, maybe that's the word, or inspirational as possible. It all comes down to consistent attention and evaluation. What's happened in the past however many years is that the arts, that core subject has not been paid attention to. And so our recommendations are about establishing it with a framework that allows us to continue and evaluate so that the kids can get to the resources. We also, being aware of the situation, the financial situation that we all find ourselves in, know that there are many untapped resources in the community and beyond the community that we need to go after and that we need to bring to the table so that we can continue this work. And I know that Barb and I are going to continue to help us in any way that we can. So thank you for your support.
Good evening. I just wanted to echo just the sentiment with Barb and Ann. It's been a great opportunity for the district to work with community members that have such an amazing amount of energy and advocacy for the arts. So that was an amazing experience in itself. The three areas that Barb had laid out as far as the curricular issues, concerns, financial planning ahead of time, and looking for resources to help support the arts are things that are echoed within the recommendations of the report. Our method in addressing the curricular issues involves the revision of the K-12 curriculum guides, which originally were done in 1996. So our recommendation is to use existing resources utilizing fine arts district staff to get together and work through a more effective, amazing plan for our students. The next component is financial planning, and utilizing the assistance of a new position in arts liaison to assist in finding alternative resources and funding sources to assist with enhancing and sustaining our fine arts efforts to build our fine arts education is one piece of that. The second piece of that is making sure we have resources in place that support arts instruction. And one way of doing that that we would like to use is building arts resource equity across the district, so utilizing funds to assist that. There is a breakdown of the Fine Arts Task Force recommendation allocation that's been proposed for the 2009-2010 budget. And these numbers are estimates of the $100,000 that's put into that. But essentially, it's broken down in the following manner. Arts liaison position is a part-time position, limited term for this year only, coming up, $50,000. Arts resource equity purchases, $35,000, and that would be reviewing our current inventory to make sure that every school has the foundational equipment and needs for their programs, and seeing who has high needs and then making sure we provide those resources and equipment to those schools. And then the last one is the consideration of $15,000 if we should need it for a consultant to assist in building that K-12 fine arts financial plan that would sustain us over time, building scenarios of funding sources. So that really gives you kind of the breakdown of the funds that we're requesting. And at this time, I guess if there's no other comments from Ann or Barb, really is just to ask if you had questions with the report or if there's any clarity that we can provide.
Ms. Severe, followed by Ms. Mathak.
First, I'd like to thank all of you for all of the work that went into the Fine Arts Task Force original report, and then for the follow-up. I like, you know, for future, personally, this concept of the memo that really outlines it, followed up by the other information. I thought it was easy to go through. So thanks for that, and thank you to Ann and Barb for your continued support of the arts and your dedication to the kids in the district. I think this is really important because in the discussion we're going to have in the next committee meeting, we're going to talk about a report or a series of comments that we got from the community about why they've chosen non-MMSD options. And if you go through and start tallying a number of those comments, arts, music, come up quite a bit. And as we look at our budget discussion, I think one of the things that we need to ensure we do is keep kids in our district, or ensure we bring some back if we can. And I think this is one of the cornerstones for that. So the timing is great, and thank you. I like the section on reviewing the curriculum guides. I think that's very important. I think there's, you know, an urgency to doing that, and hopefully we can move through that in kind of a timely manner and just get to it. When I went back to the original report, the charge one, it talked about reviewing this information, and it also says in the recommendation, develop or directly involve teachers via an ongoing inclusive process in development of curriculum plans. And I guess my question is probably directed to the superintendent about your thoughts, because I think this will come up beyond fine arts, of involving the teachers, or how you would see this playing out.
Well, if I could, and I believe my comments are consistent with how it was referenced in the presentation, just in a general comment first, is one of the things I want to do post-strategic plan and looking at our organization are these types of processes that we have in place. And I'm a huge supporter of teacher-involved curriculum development, you know, with a district-defined process. I want to look at what we're currently doing. I know some things were changed for budget reasons, but that may not be the only reasons that things were changed. So having said that, your question is absolutely consistent with, I believe, both the recommendations here as well as where I want us to go. Mm-hmm. So my absolute assurance is while we'll need to define what that looks like in real terms for this case, maybe we could look at it even as a pilot, is I absolutely assure that this will be a teacher-involved process. That's my assurance, and I think it is consistent with what we are wanting to do.
And do I assume that there's a separate group for music, a separate group for art? It's not just one fine arts
Correct. And basically, we have a music curriculum guide and we have a visual arts curriculum guide. And the recommendation is for this coming school year, having two separate groups meet and work through the past model and structure it so that it really, you know, the whole revolutionize education, look at a new and better and more effective way of presenting that curriculum. And the teachers will definitely help shape and craft that.
And we have, I mean, some of this information exists, so is mm-hmm. it a matter of, it can be done, I would think, fairly, it's succinctly.
Yeah, I mean, it'll definitely, we have people that are extremely passionate and amazing at what they do with kids, and we just need them at the table to help shape this guide, which is, I'll just say it's tired. It needs to get some life breathe back into it.
I would agree. It is a passionate group.
Yeah, it is. That's a good thing.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Ms. Mathiak, followed by Ms. Cole, followed by Ms. Passman.
I also would like to thank everybody for what has been a long and comprehensive process on something that clearly is important, not just to the kids, but clearly to the larger community. And I guess when I think about the type of group that might look at a curriculum review, this is probably where the superintendent's going to be really sorry he ever sent me into the school to be a liaison to anybody. Because what I find is that our frontline teachers and staff really have the best handle and feel for what is happening in their classrooms every day and what the needs of the students are and what's going to happen. And the model I'm familiar with, certainly at the university, we have this thing which, unless you've lived it, is one of the most, Madison is quite unique in this regard, and that is the degree to which we have faculty governance. So, for example, our college's curriculum committee is composed entirely of faculty with ex officio administrators. It's chaired by a faculty member. It's not chaired by an administrator. And I would hope that if we are going to look at curriculum review groups, that we would be using a model where we're looking at committees composed of teachers, not contributing to, but actually doing the curriculum review and revision. Because they're the ones who know what needs to happen from K through 12 at each step and what happens if something's missing when you get, you know, if you're a seventh grade or a sixth grade teacher and the K-5 has missed a step, you know what needs to happen. And I guess I would encourage us to think about directing administration to, if that's the way it would work better, to use this as an opportunity to set up as a pilot a curriculum review group composed of teachers and with district administrators, not necessarily from teaching and learning, maybe people with backgrounds in the field or who have experience in the field to serve as co-chairs, because again they know what they're dealing with the scheduling and the resources and the barriers and the challenges on a day-to-day level. And to me, if we don't have that folded in, if we don't have that grassroots, ground-level experience informing these decisions, we run at high risk of going for a curricular revision that really is out of touch with what's possible. So I'd like to see something that's, and certainly in the original report back from the committee, there's a lot of language about involving teachers in exactly this way, and I would like us to follow a model that is grassroots and organic, and empowers the people at our front lines to inform us.
Understood.
Ms. Cole, followed by Ms. Passman.
Yeah, I wanted to follow up with some of the line of thinking that Ms. Mathiak was talking about, the grassroots and some of the findings. And I'm wondering if, from that original task force report, and because I was kind of going back to the appendix to find out what we did find from the community. And I'm wondering if Ann or Barb could kind of summarize for also the viewing audience what the key findings were that the task force found. What are we trying to accomplish? And then I had some follow-up. As far as what did you find out, because this was a survey done with over 1,000 people plus staff members and so forth, and I thought what you found out was pretty interesting. So if you could just summarize briefly, then I had some follow-up questions.
Okay. In the appendices, do you have an executive summary?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Then, so I'll just highlight some of the key points. I think what Maya's referring to is the task force gathered most of its information just as a review from feedback from the community, 1,000 respondents to an online survey. The other area that we looked for gathering information, and of those respondents, the major groups were community arts organizations, teachers, parents and students, and then the general community. The arts task force also gathered information by developing a historical enrollment database for 7 or 8 years, and also developing a 5-year financial budget, actually a revenue and expenditure information for arts education. And some of the key highlights that came out of it, and I'd just like to say the respondents really expressed their concerns, but also their aspirations and hopes for arts. There was, in terms of the feedback from the community, there was a strong sentiment in terms of its value and wanting to sustain it. Another perception was a concern about district leadership not supporting or understanding the critical role of the arts in education. And what we have written here is leading to issues in terms of fundamental courses being cut, art courses being treated as extras, not as academic courses, strained relationships between the district administration and arts education. And I'm on page 6 of the executive summary. Just for those that are around the table. One of the surprising things that we found, remembering this myself, was in terms of one of the key questions from the school board was the enrollment and participation of students of color and low-income students. What we found when we looked at the data from the 2000-2001 school year through 2007-2008 was that the participation had increased in all of the art courses that we had looked at. But where the task force was concerned was the cuts had been increasing in the previous 3 years, and where there was concern about access to learning and resources not being equitable. What we heard from the teachers were issues as it related to both operating and capital expenditures within the particular classroom, a variety of supply budgets, and concerns in terms of what actually students needed in the classroom for the teaching of those art classes. The other key areas that we highlighted in the findings then on page 8 was what we were hearing from the community arts organizations was a concern in terms of increasing that there were fewer students that were attending the arts venues in Madison relative to the students surrounding the Madison area, and that it had been coming more difficult for the arts organizations to coordinate with the district in setting up some of these organizations. And the last point here is that in terms of taking a look at what was happening to the cuts to the arts area as well as where some of the needs were discussed is where we came in terms of feeling that there was a strong need for a multi-year educational and financial planning to address not only the allocation of resources and adequate support, and I know that in tight budgets that's a very difficult issue, but the task force felt it was important to know what is the baseline you're working from and what might that gap be. And also the other thing that came to mind was that without we were losing some opportunities for working with the arts organizations and leveraging them for grant opportunities. So, and I think one other thing that was sticking with us, that in terms of the categories of, and this is in the document that you have, to identify where resources could be used to support students with needs in their arts classrooms as they're supported in their other classrooms. And to take a look at that when taking a look at the expenditures and revenues and allocation of them within the arts. So I think that, is that, okay. There's no more pages on that.
Just to add to what Barb was saying, in addition to this information that we gathered from the community and the focus groups and the data that we had available to us, there's been a lot of work outside the district that we were able to use that informed this information. The Lieutenant Governor and the State Superintendent's Task Force on Arts and Creativity in Education, Arts Wisconsin, which is the organization I run, doing research on the statewide status of arts education, and all of the information that we found first points to the increasing importance of the arts as a comprehensive part of a 21st century kids' education, and the lack of coordination planning and evaluation within the district and within the offerings that overall resulted in less access by the kids who need it most. So whether a parent called these kinds of offerings the arts or not, there was a great recognition from the constituency out there, from the community, that this is the way that they want their kids educated. And if they weren't going to find it in this district, then they were going to look for it other places. So,
Ms. Passman. And I'm sorry, one moment, Ms. Passman, before you speak. Ms. Cole, I thought I heard you say you had a couple questions, so I wanted to make sure that you were finished with your question before we move on. If you had another question, go ahead.
Marge can go, and then I'll go after.
You sure? Mm-hmm. And is that okay with you, Ms. Moss, if we...
Sure.
Okay. All right. We'll make sure we get everybody. So Ms. Passman, followed by Ms. Cole.
Thank you very much. I can't say anything more or add to it than what Marlene has already said to you people. I find you totally remarkable. Lucy said it to you. We all say it to you. You stuck by us through thick and thin. And Bob, you were there when you were going to say goodbye to strings permanently in this district, and you came through and you stuck with the district, and I appreciate that. And it means a lot to us that you did do that. And we're very grateful to you. And in the fact that in the worst of our economic crisis, we've never turned our backs on the fine arts, but it's time to even move on from there and do something a little more. So I want to be entirely honest with you. I like the plan. I don't think I can support the additional staff member of the crisis that we're in right now. I can't vote for it. All right. I love the idea of the ambassador, and I'd love to see somebody out in the community, a kind of retirement person who has been connected to the arts, has been connected to everything going on in the cultural events of Madison, and would like to help us in this. If you can come up with a name for that, we will be entirely grateful to this person and to you too for that. I think that's a great idea, and I support that completely. If I could read my handwriting, I can go on. I do like the idea of the teachers participating. I find that very crucial. When I started in this district, we participated in everything we had a stake in what we were doing in the classroom, and I think our children benefited, the entire school system benefited, and we lost that somewhere. And if this is the beginning of a new model, a new pilot to do this for teachers, I love it. I think it's incredible. And let's do more of that in the future. I really wish I could read number one here. I'd be remiss if I didn't mention the middle school situation, which is not mentioned to any great degree in the plan, but still is severe enough. And I just want to give you some examples. The class sizes in the middle school are really way out of control at this point. Let's look at the band program alone. Every instrument is new to most of the students that come into the band program in sixth grade. And you can't have classes of 50 and think that anybody's going to be learning much. So it's a little bit disturbing. I know particularly of one teacher who's going to have 14 children with IEPs in her classroom with not a single EA to help her. This is tough. And I know we're strapped, I know. But this is very difficult. Classrooms of 50 are not unknown. It's fairly common, in fact. We have to encourage those students that can to rent their own instruments so we can free instruments up for those children who can't afford them. And this is a tough balance. We still have to consider the infinite campus grading system for our arts and music teachers. When you teach everybody in the whole school, you're going to be on that computer for hours and hours and hours. And so we need to look at that, too, as well. Okay. The budget situation. Does each school get the same budget? If you're a school that has more students involved, is your budget more than the other? I think we have to look into that part of it as well. Yeah. Do we do that based on how the number of children that are involved in a program or needs of the children? That's something I want somebody else to solve because I think it's too complex for me to solve. The number of instruments that are in disrepair around the district. So that's a big issue. The fact that each music teacher has to raise her own money to get a lot of this done takes away from teaching as well. These are things we had to do to survive, and we may have to do them in the future to survive, I know. But let's be aware of them, that there are problems out there regarding this. And I have heard that there is a place that will buy our instruments that we can no longer fix. That nobody wants to cost more money to fix than to do anything with. And we're not allowed to sell those. So I'd like somebody to check into that, if you could, Julie, and let me know about that. If we can bring any money in, this would be one way of doing it, because I know that there are shelves of instruments that are no longer fixable, repairable. Other than that, you know how positive I am about this. I think it's wonderful what you've done, and I hope we can do a lot for you and our students in this area. So thank you very much.
Ms. Cole, followed by Ms. Moss, followed by Ms. Rivera.
Yeah. Thanks again for all your work, and also thanks for the summary. I think this is a very important topic for the community, and I wanted to follow up with kind of what I'm looking at. I do need some clarification when we go about approving this, what we're actually approving. The different financial items or the whole plan. I think someone said I agree with the summary document. I think this is really nicely written and it gives us an idea. The pause that I had in this is that, first of all, I do think that the curricular updates, especially if they're teacher directed, is really the way to go. I think that we're going to find that throughout the district in many of these things. We have all these teachers that are very well educated, and we're definitely not using their resources, I don't think, when it comes to curricular development. I have two things that I'm concerned with. One is this title of arts liaison or arts ambassador. You know, when I look at the economic situation we're in, I feel like if we continue to add on and do something within our current structure, that we really don't allow ourselves to expose ourselves to the greater community. And what I got from the report was that the community said we don't have enough ties and that we are not getting out there. And I'll give you an example. What I was thinking of is when the city of Madison had the business development position come up or economic development position come up. The business community did flips when the first choice was put out there, not because they were maybe not qualified or whatever, but because they felt like they weren't being heard. And my concern here is that this position be outside of how we normally do things. I would prefer that it not be someone underneath the current structure, but completely outside, that would maybe not be long-term, maybe just a one-year position where we can really see with this promise. You know, we've heard from the task force many times, there are many resources out there, just you wait and see. You know, maybe that's what we need to do, is free someone to find those possibilities. And I agree with Ms. Passman that it does come down to we're in a horrible situation. Yet to kind of do the same thing that we've always done just gives me pause. And I'm not sure whether I'm ready to approve this position as it is. I think it needs to be more dynamic, and it needs someone that's going to have a lot of skills and have the chutzpah and be connected more. The second thing that I'm concerned with is that that this be sustainable. And I do think that I don't know whether it'll cost us $15,000, but I think that in the place that we're in, we really need to look at whether we're going to have fine arts in this district. We've done enough cuts, and one of the things that I got out of this executive report is the concern from the community that there was a quantifiable erosion of arts education. And to me, one of the basic things that we have, one of the factors that we can bring to the general public, is we have a great fine arts education staff. And if we erode that anymore, I don't know how we would get it back. And it's very important to me that we figure out that five-year plan, that be one of the first things that we do, is find out how we go about doing this and keeping it sustainable. And that it's going to take work outside of Doyle. It has to be with the community, hand in hand. And I also think this is a time where the community may be willing to help us, because the bigger picture is the state of Wisconsin is dependent on the arts and a new way of thinking, the 21st century skills, in a way they never were before. So I agree with the curricular updates. I'm not so sure. You know, I need some more guidance on what we're actually being requested to approve. And I would highly recommend some of the things that I've talked about. Thank you.
Ms. Moss, followed by Ms. Severe, followed by Ms. Mathak.
Okay. First of all, I wanted to thank you also. I'll just a couple of things that others haven't mentioned is the fact that you did try very hard to work within our existing resources, and I really do appreciate that, because I know that if you could get what you really wanted, then the dollar signs would have been much higher, and I do appreciate that. And also, something that you mentioned several times were providing more support for students with disabilities. And I don't think that can be understated, and I appreciate that came up so many times, because I think that is an issue where often a student is sent into an arts, a fine arts class, a band class, without the needed support, and it's difficult for the student, for the teacher, and for the other students. So I appreciate that note also. And I think that maintaining consistency across schools is very, very important. I was so struck by the dollars, the difference in the dollars that teachers are allocated in different schools. And I think that it's not much, but it is per pupil, and that's a considerable amount that probably ends up coming out of teachers' pockets, I would think, in the end. And I also, just to follow up on the curriculum guides, that was something I thought of first, was that having the teachers decide, come up with those in committee, because each of them has such unique skills and such unique talents that I think sharing those amongst all of the teachers is so important. And I think that discussion would be incredibly lively. I think it would be a really interesting set of meetings to sit in on. And I look forward to their, and I really, it sounds like everyone else is very much wanting the teachers, you know, to be involved in that. The other, and another thing I was thinking about as far as looking at, we're looking at culturally relevant curriculum and trying to increase our numbers of children with color in our classes. I was wondering if you had thought about looking at some of the curriculum guides at some of the MSAN schools, some other and other districts. If you had, you may have already done that in your research, but that was just a thought that I had. And the other, I'm very supportive of the idea of high school credit, of requiring high school credit. I don't know how the other board members feel, but I do hope that as part of the high school redesign, I feel that's very, very important for a well-rounded student. And I think that it will take some educating because I think there are people, families, who feel that that's going to take away from their child's so-called academic career. But I think that if I feel like it's very important for our district to really encourage students to be more well-rounded, to explore those talents. You know, they never know what they may find when they can explore those musical and artistic talents. And I guess the last, two more actually. I appreciated also the time spent on the accountability for the rental instruments, because it's something I've heard from band teachers that it's really not, the process for renting is kind of confusing, and sometimes all of the fees are not collected, which means that we're not really collecting the money that we should be collecting for when people are renting. People are kind of getting away with only renting, paying up for one semester. And also, a lot of it gets put onto the teachers themselves rather than having it be through the central office or even through the store. I think the teachers, from what I understand, would really like for there to be a more consistent way of doing the rentals. So, and I guess the last one, I was interested in Ms. Cole's idea about the board liaison, because I also was thinking when I read it that I really didn't, I was looking at the board liaison as another person who would be kind of outside of the classroom. And I know that, you know, I'm seeing this through the eyes. The news we got, the financial news we got tonight is really terrible. Ms. Mathiak and I mean, I've been stewing over this since our planning meeting and just thinking about, you know, any extra amount of money. And I guess my thought was that I wondered if you had thought about the difference between having like an administrator who would be kind of within, like as Ms. Cole said, within the same construct that we have now, as opposed to a person who might be more in the classroom. I'm thinking, I don't know if this would even work, but I was thinking about, I know we have kind of roving teachers, and I have a friend who is a music teacher at a private school, and she does musicals with her middle school students. And it's a school where a lot of our students do go because they want more music education and more arts education. And I thought, boy, you know, if we could somehow infuse that into our middle school curriculum, and I don't know how we could do it, if I don't know if one person could be a roving person to go around and help with opera for the young, maybe go into different classrooms and do a lesson as part of the curriculum. But I personally would rather see the money spent on something that would really affect the kids now. And I know we have grant writers and we have people working on partnerships, and I know that's not enough, but for me, the money, I would rather see the money spent on someone going in and doing Fiddler on the Roof with some 7th and 8th graders, at least a scene from Fiddler on the Roof with some 7th and 8th graders, so that they get the experience of being in a musical. Because I worry about, I mean, we have really fantastic programs in our high schools, But I worry about the number of kids who go into ninth grade have never had any experience unless they've been in Mezzo or the youth choir or something outside of school, and they're not being willing to take that risk. And there was something said in here about risk-taking when you're young, and I think that there's nothing more self-affirming than getting up on a stage and singing in front of a lot of people. And that's an experience that, I really think more of our kids need to have. So, and I think I spoke enough. So, but I really do appreciate this, and I just some thoughts. So I'd love to talk more, and my friend would love to be involved if she can in any way or help in any way that she can as well. So,
Ms. Severo, followed by Ms. Pathak, followed by Ms. Passman.
Thank you. I have a couple of more questions. I think the first one is for the superintendent. At the beginning, I think it was Barb, you talked about reflecting the commitment to the arts in the strategic plan. And so is that a discussion we have under this umbrella of the fine arts, or is that something that we have as a strategic planning discussion, or it's something that I certainly support, but how do we make sure that we, move this discussion forward?
2 points. One is that I believe we should align reports like this, the major reports that have been made and are coming yet, to the strategic plan. I have a specific format in mind for that.
Great.
And it should come as part of the strategic plan discussion.
So next.
Yeah. That's how. Okay. That would be my preference. I mean, I get the sense of direction off of this. It ties to that.
But it's something that you've been thinking about putting it all together.
Yeah.
My second, I guess, question/comment also has to do with the position of the arts liaison, and it ties in somewhat with what Ms. Cole said. And I have actually been thinking about a position before we saw the Fine Arts Task Force report, and I was thinking about it more in broader terms, not just for fine arts. And that is more of a business development, I think, business-type position, someone that can go out and develop those relationships and connections with the community, knows how to approach people and organizations with respect to the financial aspects, knows different ways of pulling this together. I've been kind of meshing this in my mind since the strategic plan, and then when this came out, it fit nicely in there. It would be a person, I think, that would be the way I was envisioning it. It wasn't just for fine arts, but it could be, for many different aspects of what the district is doing. I would envision it someone on the superintendent's staff that could, go out with the superintendent or whatever, and make some of those high-level pitches and relationship development. And I think it's somebody that would be skilled in that type of relationship building. It's a whole different set of skills than we are typically used to working with here. And I understand the financial situation. Well, sometimes I think when organizations get into the financial crunch, they tend to say, no more of anything, let's just stop. And I think we have to ask the question, if we had some sort of business development position or whatever we want to call it, could we structure it in such a way that there could be very quick return to the school district? So in other words, if you have someone that can hit the ground running, developing some of these financial relationships, could they pay for themselves in a very short period of time? And that's the things that have been going through in my mind, and I don't know what to do with that other than just throw it out there for thought.
And I think that's the type of work that we can look at, whether it's structured in that exact way. I mean, we don't know yet, but as part of the reorganization discussion, I think that's where we could have that discussion.
I understand the need for the fine arts, so I don't want to lose that,
right,
because I think that's very critical. But I'm concerned about that specific position,
right,
just for the fine arts, and maybe in the interim, if that's something that you've been thinking about or will think about, you know, maybe Ms. Passman's idea of finding someone in the community that can help in the meantime is worth the thought or discussion as well.
Sure.
That's it.
Ms. Mathiak, followed by Ms. Passman.
I guess, you know, a couple of things. One is that I want to thank my colleagues for their comments. In part, it's always sort of interesting coming into these meetings because you don't really know where other people stand, and then you discover that you agree on a whole bunch of stuff, and which is much more fun than when you don't agree on anything. But like my colleagues, I am not prepared to support adding an FTE at this time. I'm concerned that, and this is a general concern, that when we have recommendations from task forces, that we're getting back recommendations that tend to involve adding staff and not adding staff in our classrooms or in our schools. And at this time, this is not the time to be having that discussion. I also confess that I'm a little confused because I had thought that part of the function of the fine arts coordinator was to serve as a liaison with community art groups. And so, you know, I'm not sure sort of what the difference would be between the proposed FTE and what I had thought was what we did when we set up that position. And I think it at least initially had funded it in part with Fund 80 because of the community focus. That said, even if we have somebody who is liaison, and to me it's not just a matter of is there funding, but sometimes it's a matter of making the connections. And this is part of why I also am interested in something beyond the arts, because one of the most common refrains I hear is that people do want to work with the district. They want to do things that would greatly enhance our curriculum and our offerings and the level of achievement and attainment for our students, and they find it, to the extent that they've attempted it, they're not finding it an experience they want to repeat. And so I think we have some conversations we need to have about our culture as a district and whether we really are welcoming of partners. It is very discouraging to me when I participate in academic functions in a number of areas, and there are students, and I understand the responses to the surveys that, you know, people went to other districts because they thought they would have a much richer experience. The kids in our neighboring districts are participating in a lot of things that you don't see MMSD students at. And I don't think it has to be that way, but I think we've created a culture that's very insular and needs to change. It's not serving us, it's not serving our students, and it's certainly not serving our community. Many of the things people have to offer are not necessarily funds. Sometimes it's goods, sometimes it's services, it's in kind. But at the end of the day, it increases the richness of our environment in ways that we either cannot or do not do for ourselves right now. It also could connect our kids to students from other areas, which is always exciting. If anybody has ever participated in forensics or debate or music competitions as a student, it's a lot more exciting when you're up against other people. We do some of that, but there are a lot of opportunities we're missing. And I would love to see us, as part of our strategic thinking, consider how we might change that, because our students do deserve more, and it is a push factor in pushing people away from the district right now. Along with Ms. Cole, I would like to know what we are approving, if we, you know, what we're being asked to approve and what we are approving. In addition to the FTE issue, when I got this packet, I went back and I looked at what we originally got from the task force. And there were a couple of key areas where teachers and staff are mentioned quite explicitly that are not in what is currently here. One is in the curriculum review. The other is in strategies for increasing the participation of students of color and low-income students in the arts. When I look at the sort of timeline and responsible personnel certainly in the second charge, I'm not seeing the teacher and frontline staff involvement, and yet they're the ones who are often our most diligent talent scouts. So I guess I would like, if we're going to approve this, I would like to put back in the parts where teachers are central to what we do and how we move forward, because I don't see how we move forward without them.
Ms. Passman?
Yeah. Fortunately, I deciphered my handwriting. Thank you. Okay. It's not easy. You should have seen my college notes. Is it possible, can we possibly include in the motion to accept this or whatever we do next week, also the fact that I would like to hear a quarterly report back to the board about what has progressed, because you have an awful lot going on in 09, 010, and I would just like to know every couple of months where we are, where we've come from, where we're going. And so that's one thing. The other thing is I found out last year that there was an administrative decision or policy set up so that we could, that you could not go on any other field trip that cost more than $40 per child total for the year. And this affects field trips to museums. It affects field trips to the Overture Center. And I know where it comes from. It comes from the equity issue, because in some schools we have parents that are very generous and that will pay for two children instead of one, while there are other schools that can't afford this. But I would prefer that we find some money somehow for these schools that don't have that, instead of bringing the whole district down and all our field trips down, that we explore ways of expanding it to everyone. And I would like to see this administrative policy looked at again for next year, if that's at all possible. So that's all.
Ms. Cole?
Just a couple things. I wanted to have a response when Ms. Moss was talking about addressing student needs right away with your friend and, you know, making those connections. And I wanted to say that I'm not against that at all. I guess I see this as something that I had issues with the strategic plan, which is that coming up with priorities for this year and at the same time having to plan for 5 years from now. And I don't know, I like Ms. Silvera's idea. I've never thought of that before, of having someone that could make those connections for the entire district. I don't know whether that would water down. It's hard to tell, because we're talking about this right now and we haven't really looked at it. But that's where I was going with that, is that I think, we can say that we're in this hard economic time and that we're not going to spend any money, but the reality is that we're spending money every year on things that we sometimes don't check, and I have no way of verifying them, and it's a very frustrating process for me. I would rather have better data and a start to looking at the programs and actually evaluating them. Not because I'm critical of them, but because we are not going to be getting any more money anytime soon. On the same hand, I do agree with Ms. Moss that we've got to come up with ways where the staff that are in the ground, or on the ground, that know this stuff, are connected. That they share their ideas and their knowledge. And so that's where I was getting at with that comment. I just don't want to do things the same way. It's just not, I don't think it's going to work. And then finally, I do want to go back and say that, we do need to at some point look at this erosion of arts education and look at our different funding mechanisms and how we're doing this. And this probably relates to finding that person that can look at this as a business investment and using sources in different ways, whether it's Title I, which sometimes I don't know where our Title I money goes, and I'd like to know that a little better. And so that's where I'm going with these comments, is that I think that we need to look at this in a different way. And I also need to know what we're voting on. I think the curriculum is a great start. I don't think we should take on a lot. We're taking on a lot. I'd rather have something that I can keep track of over the year than to find out 6 months from now that some new program or something has started that I didn't know I was approving. So less is more. I think that's it. Thank you.
Mr. Hughes, followed by Ms. Moss.
Thank you. I'll be brief. When I read this, I thought the Arts Liaison proposal was a really good one, and I disagree, I think, with a lot of the views that have been expressed, because I think we really need someone I don't know what we really need, but we could very much benefit from someone who is focused on establishing, going out and establishing those partnerships with the many arts groups in the community who I think are willing to help us if we ask them, and really work on bringing people in and bringing us out, bringing our students out to the arts community. I think that was a very effective and efficient way to address the concerns that have been expressed around the table about not utilizing the resources that we have in the community to the extent that other districts do, as well as not being able to have outside groups come into all our schools and introduce our students to the kinds of arts experiences that we've been deficient on recently. So I guess perhaps mine is minority view on this, but I think it's a good proposal. And I think it's someone who should focus on the arts. I mean, that's a very specific set of background skills that I think are necessary and wouldn't necessarily, I don't think, I understand Arlene's point about a overall kind of liaison to the business community or the community at large, but I think someone with a specific arts background would be necessary if the way this kind of position seems to be conceptualized would be effective.
Ms. Moss?
Okay, yeah, I have a kind of a follow-up on that. I was just wondering, I know since I've been on the board and lived in Madison, people have talked about partnerships, and I'm just wondering why they have, this may be very simplistic, but I'm just wondering why they haven't happened. I mean, people are telling us all the time, you need to have partnerships with the chamber orchestra, you need to have a partnership with the symphony. Why hasn't it happened? They surely know about this. They know about us. They know we're here. So what is the block? I mean, I really don't understand.
And I can answer that by telling you the current status of that. We do have a partnership, a formal partnership with the Overture Center for the Arts that we've had since 1993. And that partnership really explores educator workshops that have happened consistently over several years. It's provided opportunities such as artist-in-residency outreach programs, which the Overture Center sponsors through their resident groups such as the Madison Symphony Orchestra. We have several groups such as Opera for the Young that connects with several schools every year. So we do have some really amazing partnerships that are happening right now. There are several, we're such a rich community that we have so many opportunities that we can really tap into that it's a matter of just focusing on a few to make them extremely successful. Part of my position is to make those partnerships successful in a collaborative way through projects that benefit not only our school district, but also benefit the opportunities and things that the organizations that want to partner with us, kind of a balancing act to help make sure we're not abusing our relationship in any way. We want to make sure that they also have a benefit from this. So we have some amazing relationships already. I think we can do more, and the arts liaison position really takes someone that can focus on that. That was one concern that the Fine Arts Task Force had shared, that we need more of it. The other component was developing the curriculum more fully, which is kind of what then I would focus on. I would focus on the curriculum development piece, and I have to kind of help this particular plan, anytime you see fine arts district committees, those are teachers. And I apologize for not making that clear. It should have been much more clear. So anytime you see that, there's about 8 different fine arts district committees that are focused on certain things, such as the music curriculum guide development, with the visual arts curriculum, looking at resources, funds. So there's 8 different committees that are happening from the upcoming school year to about 2-3 years out that are really focused on helping the concerned. So I apologize. That's my fault for not providing, you know, a much more obvious definition of what that those committees are doing. So I hope that helps, and I hope it gives you a little more information about the vision of what the arts liaison position could really do. Could they potentially fund their own position in the future? That might be something that they could look into, you know, as a way of us jump-starting the process, and then that person looking as to how grants, donations, alternate funds could help them support our district through that. So I hope that gave you enough information. Thank you.
Do you see, would you see yourself as being the person who would be trying to have more consistency in things like, I'm thinking about the art appreciation at Crestwood that's
right.
My parents, and it's very, very well organized, and they have a large number of resources. I don't know of any other schools that have the number of resources they do.
I thought it was on. My question is, do you see yourself as the person who would be trying to replicate those sorts of programs, or are those the kinds of things that we want to go toward? The art appreciation at sure. Crestwood, those sorts of things?
I would say successful arts experiences or opportunities that are happening around the district. Those are things that we have to talk to the staff that's involved, the community that loves it. And then how do we find out if it's something that can be replicated in another school? It may or may not be successful in another school, but are there components of those successful arts experiences that we can assist in making throughout the district, K-12? So hopefully that kind of helps.
Okay,
yeah,
thanks.
Thank you so much for the question.
Ms. Passman.
Yeah, I think maybe what we're looking at is a difference in an ambassador and a liaison that's at $50,000. And my theory was that we can get an ambassador who would volunteer their time with our district and reach out into the community. And we can also do it in any area. It doesn't matter. It's just the expense of that $50,000 liaison is the thing that stopped me short of, you know, agreeing to it. And the other thing is that it's also good to have teachers, you know, involved in curriculum and on committees and everything else. But it's equally important for teachers to know that the one person they can call is you, Julie, and say, look, I'm drowning here. I need some help here. Could you do this for me, and will you be there for me? And that's the kind of thing that a lot of our teachers have been overwhelmed with in the last, you know, several years, especially with the class and a half. So this is something that's extremely important, is to take care of our teaching staff so they can take care of our kids.
I wanted to thank you for your hard work and your diligence for 2.5 years. I know it's been 2.5 years because I've been here for 2.5 years, longer than that, but I know this has been going on. So I wanted to thank you for your hard work with this. And one of the things I guess I want to hear more about the strategic plan in terms of where these recommendations, in essence, bubble up to the surface. And, you know, I think, you know, with any position like a liaison position or anything like that, if the district wants it to happen, and the board and the superintendent, if want it to happen, it'll happen, bottom line. And, you know, I'm excited, actually, for the fact that there are some recommendations that are coming forward for the board to explore and to look at. And I realize that we do have fiscal challenges, but at the same time, with the strategic plan coming up, and then in essence a reorganization of the district and its resources, I think this is the perfect time to look at what we do and how we do it. And so I guess my question, I guess I have for the superintendent, is this: these recommendations, if I don't know if this is true or not, have you seen these recommendations? Have they come to your office and your staff have met about these recommendations?
That's correct.
And are you preparing any kind of document back to the board to say, these are the things that we could do here, we have capacity to do these things, or, you know, this is a great idea, but right now we can't do it given resources or whatever the situation is. Is that the intent right now?
The intent was for this document to be that. And yet at the same time, I am listening to the input tonight. We do need to make what we're recommending explicit through the motion, which, you know, obviously you'll have presented to you next Monday.
Well, one of the things because I think there's some really good things in this document, and I know that we, as a board, are in a challenging fiscal times here, but I think there are ways of doing things that are within this document. But yet in terms of the board, we're not the day-to-day operations. That falls upon you, superintendent, and your staff. And if within the strategic plan, the arts education falls within a realm of that's something that our community has desired and wants to see moving forward with this district, I think we need to look at that. And obviously the drawback is that something else will have to not happen. Or maybe the fact is that something else was not something we were doing very well, or something that maybe we shouldn't be doing anymore. So so I guess I'd like to hear more. And I guess I'd like to move this forward in terms of the recommendations, in terms of what this document says, move it forward. Have the superintendent deliberate on it. As we deliberate through the strategic planning process, then I guess that would be the finalization of not only this document, but several other documents that we're working on as well, including TAG and what's another? I'm sorry. We have so many.
Math.
We have so many of these that are coming forward. Is that, in essence, the design that you're looking at? I mean, if we approve this, and again, I listen and I hear four board members mm-hmm. say, I can't approve this because it's mm-hmm. adding positions or anything like that. But again, the fact that, you know, you're looking at, you know, in essence, reorganizing mm-hmm. the district, something like this could happen through that process. Correct? Or
I mean, it could happen in a variety of ways. You know, one of the things I've been trying to do is be consistent with the task force plans that were really commissioned prior to my coming here.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And to let them have their separate process. I've said that I would try to be true to what those recommendations were, yet we needed implementation plans. Now we have the fine arts implementation plan. That's what this is. We did set aside in the preliminary budget $100,000.
Yep.
This is the plan for the use of that money in terms of the priorities. I let this group do its work, and then I reviewed it and, you know, found that I, you know, could support it. The other thing is that we need to take these once they're approved and then hang them to align them with the strategic plan.
Mm-hmm.
So I think. My advice would be is whether you can support all the recommendations in here or not, a set of recommendations for finance should be approved, and then I'll ensure that we align that with the strategic plan mm-hmm. once that's done.
Now, I think their recommendation was $50,000 for this.
For the position piece. Correct.
There was $100,000, I thought I remember, for the fine arts
right.
budget. And I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I'm sorry, I should let you
finish. No, I just
there are
wondered.
Other pieces in here
yes.
that
yes.
Go to the curriculum development piece, ensuring some consistency with resources that kids need across the schools. And so in here, there is a plan that aligns to that $100,000.
Okay.
And that's a different question than does everyone agree with that plan, but there is a plan for that $100,000.
Okay.
Your discussion, the focus on $50,000 for the liaison position was one component. Determining what resources are needed and making some equity adjustments in the student resources was $35,000 out of that account. And the $15,000 remaining is contingent, and we could go two ways on that. One would be to determine if we needed some external consulting to aid in a financial plan development. If that can be done in-house, which a good share of it can be, we would gladly allocate the remaining $15,000 towards the student needs.
Okay. Ms. Cole.
Followed by Ms. Mathak.
Okay. I get frustrated in this discussion because I feel like I'm coming from a different perspective, and so I'm just going to throw some stuff out there. But this district, I go back to this erosion of arts education. You know, the district not too long ago threatened to cut strings. I'm really tired of parents telling me what it used to be like. There's been consistent erosion. We've seen the cuts monetarily that have come to the arts. And in addition, the board just came off over a year to maybe 2 years of having teachers come to us and say a decision that was made for this class and a half in the specials was really a mistake and was not fair to a lot of kids. So I'm very reluctant to just go ahead and say, oh, we're going to reorganize the district somehow during the strategic plan, and that this will be tacked on. I'm reluctant to, not to, Mr. Hughes was saying about the arts liaison position. I like the ambassador position. I don't know how we're going to pay for it or where it'll go. Where I'm reluctant is that it's looking like the same lens, which is stick it in teaching and learning, report to the coordinator, and that's the same system that cut strings, that gave us class and a half, that cut monetary stuff. And you have to understand, from my point of view, that's just very frustrating. I don't know if I want to go down that road again. And so while I want this process to continue, and I think there's good pieces in there, like this, I'm willing to spend $15,000 for someone outside to figure out how we're going to have a business model. I'm willing to have an ambassador. But what I'm not willing to do is to see some of those strings that are still attached to the old way of doing things that, to me, say we're going to go down the same road. We might get a few incremental changes, but we may not get a whole system change that will be sustainable and that that the community will trust us with. And that's what I'm really concerned of, is that we spent many, many hours trying to find out what the community wanted. And we can't afford to lose that trust. And that's what I'm getting at, is not the position. I think the position's great, but let's not do the same thing that we've done in the past. I'm really concerned about that.
Superintendent, I believe you wanted to respond.
Yeah, I do. I don't have all the benefit of all the historical information, but my belief is that, and based on what I've learned in this first year, is a lot of those decisions were made for budgetary reasons, to be able to balance a budget. And you could see that recently we brought back an area of the fine arts that I concluded we needed to change. And I think we are marketing ourselves right now in this conversation, and that was a positive thing. I'm asking whether all elements of this plan can be supported next week or not, that we need forward direction. We need closure on this. And then it needs to, and the piece that I have a trouble with is that if it's not embedded in the strategic plan, that's the wrong way to go, because then it's a plan without a home base. It needs to have a home base. And so I'm asking for, because In terms of the forward direction, I know that things get difficult in this financial discussion that we're in right now. It can't be ignored. There still needs to be forward direction. And these plans were commissioned. I think there's been some good study. There are some good recommendations. I'm listening to where you see your priorities within them. I think we can make our request clear in the motion, but I'm asking that we get forward direction on this plan so we can then tie it to the home base called the strategic plan, and more important, that we can get about resurrecting the right kind of focus in the fine arts area.
I would like to say that this is not my personal opinion. I would like to say that this is not just some quaint history, but it, in fact, is the result of a good deal of survey and research on what the community feels and believes about the arts. So I would call your attention, all of you, to page 15 of the MMSD Fine Arts Task Force report dated July 2008, not the sort of version we got here, which sort of left some key stuff out, but what actually we discovered. And this speaks to the issue, and I completely agree with Ms. Cole on the issue of I am not willing to put one more FTE into teaching and learning. Why? Because teaching and learning is part of the reason we have a perception that the district does not cooperate and will not work with community organizations. Let me read to you the findings. The Madison community values and wants to help sustain arts education. Community perception is that the district leadership has not supported or understood the critical role of the arts in K-12 education, leading to students having difficult registering for and taking courses, strained relationships between district administration and arts education teachers. There does not appear to be a productive working relationship in place. And I would argue that given some of the emails we've had from teachers, some of the unfortunate ones that went to the entire comment line, that has not been fixed. Teachers feel excluded from the design and planning process for changes in arts curriculum in a meaningful and respected manner. On and on and on. I mean, what? How much clearer could it be? This is, we asked people what they thought, they told us. And by God, if we go back and say, oh, well, you didn't really mean that because we're the experts, I can't be part of that. Because that's exactly what's been wrong with this district for many, many years. The administration sets it up as the experts, the board sets itself up as the experts, and community gives input and teachers give input, and we say, oh, you didn't really mean that. What you really meant was you wanted this. Well, they told us. Coordination with community arts organizations and the provision of curriculum-related programming has become increasingly difficult and therefore less frequent. This has meant a diminishment of such opportunities for MMSD students, and onward and so forth. It's clear, it's in the findings. In the findings, there's a clear recommendation on sort of invigorating stakeholders and our primary, I would call the primary stakeholders, which are the teachers. And so, yes, I believe that there are things to improve, but I am very cautionary about the idea that, you know, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. I want a different result. So if we're going to talk about change, if we're going to talk about going in a new direction, then let's go in a new direction. Let's not go back to the old structures that, frankly, don't appear to serve us terribly well.
I'm probably as guilty of this as anyone here, but I just don't think we can keep asking for the assigning or appointing these task forces and having them do their work and come and give us a report and say, thanks for all your wonderful work, we think you're great, but we're going to reject everything that you recommend to us. I mean, we have the people from the task force who are here saying, here are our recommendations. I don't see where we get off saying, sorry, we don't like it, we want you to establish a whole new, I don't know what, organizational structure somewhere. I think that is counterproductive, and let me speak, please. I believe I have the table.
Hold on.
I would appreciate if I could complete my thought.
Go ahead, Mr. Hughes. Go ahead.
Thank you. My point is, I don't think, well, I've made my point. I don't think that we are in a position to, well, I don't think it serves us well to appoint task forces and then reject the recommendations. I think the recommendations are sound. We shouldn't be fly-specking them, and we should take the recommendations of the group seriously and not try and and not try and do what I said we seem to be trying to do.
Ms. Avera, followed by Ms. Passman.
I agree with the superintendent in that I think we have to move some things forward. I think that's really important to the Fine Arts Task Force, to the need in the schools for fine arts and for our commitment to fine arts. I also agree that if we're going to be approving something and we have a strategic plan that is really our umbrella, then it really does need to be embedded and be linked to the strategic plan, because as we've stated from the beginning of the strategic plan process, that's going to be our guiding document. And, you know, to start saying, well, we have the plan, but we'll do this here and this here, kind of somewhat defeats the purpose. However, you know, I think the discussions, there's been, you know, a number of opinions certainly on the position of the liaison and the ambassador, which range from structure to financial to can we make it, you know, broader to be doing more things. I think that's okay to have the discussion, and I haven't heard anyone really rejecting other parts of the plans other than, you know, I guess the question of that position, if I'm understanding my colleagues correctly. So I think we do have some things that we're in agreement that we can move forward and we need to move forward. I'm not sure how to resolve the issue of the position, because I think people have very just differing of opinions on how it should be, but it sounds like everyone thinks it should, there should be that function somehow, and maybe we can look at other ways of doing it, or it just sounds to me, but from listening to people, if it stays as is, it's not going to happen in that way. And so I guess the issue is it important enough to happen to can we look at another way of our alternatives of doing that in the next week, or is it just best to separate it out and not do it? I that's just kind of a open-ended question, I think, more probably for you, Superintendent.
Right.
No, I don't know if you have to answer it.
Well, I just very briefly,
rhetorical.
What I'd like to do is take the input from this discussion tonight with the idea of what I think we can move forward on based on what I've heard here, and craft that into the specific motion, and we'll see where it goes next week.
So would you bring that back to the board then? I mean, some in, I guess, next week's or this Thursday's packet?
Right.
You would bring that to the board?
That's correct.
You know, I guess one of the things, though, and Ms. Passman, I know you want to speak. I just wanted to speak on the superintendent. If Superintendent, you and your staff feel that this is the direction, I would rather take the whole thing and bring it forward to the board before we start kind of sifting and winnowing it out based on what you've heard here, because I think seven of us have seven different opinions, and I think that, you know, I mean, that's what a board does sometimes. And I guess I personally, again, here's the recommendations the task force had. I think we should vote on these before we start taking it apart. That's my own personal opinion. Ms. Passman.
Yeah, we have to, certainly we can come together on this, and we need to move it forward. We have to do this. If this is an important of what's going to happen next week when we discuss the strategic plan and everything is reduced to, well, I don't want to do this again, let's remember that this document, as well as the strategic plan document, is about change. We are going to change our ways. And if we also say, come back to us quarterly and say what you've done, we also have a way of saying you're not doing what we told you we wanted done. And that's our backup. But I also think it's up to the superintendent to take this plan, take the strategic plan, take the TAGS plan, and say to us, this is what I need to get this district going again and to change. And we need to support that. This is not the same district we've had in the past. And we have to accept that fact, that there is going to be change, that we are going to ask more from our teachers, we're going to ask more from our administrators to come through for us, and this is where the direction I want to go in. I can't keep going backwards to go forwards anymore. We've just got to keep doing it with the provision that we know we expect this to happen in our way, that we say. And that's it. Now, will the superintendent come back and maybe have a reorganization? We don't know that because we haven't passed the strategic plan yet. So step by step by step, we've got to do these things. And by refusing to do one thing, we're keeping everything else from happening. So that's where I'm coming from right now. This plan needs to move forward with certain provisions. Yeah.
Ms. Moss, followed by Ms. Mathai.
Yeah, I just wanted to agree with pretty much everything that Ms. Silvera said, because I do feel like when listening to the comments, we did agree on the majority of most of the document. We just didn't spend as much time on that part as we did on the part we didn't agree on. And so I would like for the superintendent, as he said, to take our comments back and for us to vote on this, because I think it is very, very important that we move it forward. There may be a part that this is, again, a living document. All of these task force reports are living documents. They're going to change as we change. They're going to be incorporated into the strategic plan. It's possible if we can't agree to add this FTE and we can't agree on what this person's role will be, that can come later. But there's a lot in here that we can agree on, and a lot of it is very, very important. And it will move us in the direction of improving the fine arts offerings and the fine arts in our schools, and for the students and for the staff. And so I like I said, agree with Ms. Silvera and with the superintendent, and I would really like to see this come back to us next week so we can vote on it.
Ms. Mathai.
I love these little litmus tests. I think we all agree that there are some things that need to happen. I certainly think there's a lot of agreement around the curricular issues. Frankly, contrary to what my good colleague, Mr. Hughes, has said, this is what we got from the Fine Arts Task Force, and I do ask that each and every one of us familiarize ourselves with what they recommended, particularly the role of staff and community arts organizations in creating this forward motion and in creating the where we need to go and the need to empower and listen to the voices. Personally, and I may just be overly paranoid, but I do believe a lot of that was absent in this document, and that's what troubles me. So for me, the issue isn't whether the direction is correct. The charges are there. The basic components that the task force identified are there. But there are key stakeholders that do not appear in the version. If we approve this black binder as it stands today, they would not be in it, and that bothers me greatly. I do believe that if we're talking about change, then we need to do it within structures that are capable of change.
So it's 25 after 8, and I know we have some other things, some other big items on the agenda as well. I want to thank all of you again for coming here, and I hope you leave here knowing, obviously, that this is a robust discussion from your community elected officials. And that, the fact of the matter is, obviously everyone's taking this all serious and, want to see a really good product in the end, just like all of you. So, again, thank you very much for your time. And anybody else? Otherwise, I'll conclude this meeting, and hopefully we can take another break.
Yes.
All right. Okay. Thank you.
Thanks.